When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
I was 16 and looking for a new gaming PC to buy on Craigslist.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
I had just gotten my first job and wanted to treat myself after my first paycheck. I was online pretty much every day after work, scrolling through any new listings, until one of them looked good. It was a 3-year-old Alienware with some decent specs, listed for only $200. In the description, it said they had recently upgraded to a newer PC and had no use for this one, but that it still works just fine. I sent him an email, and he got back to me quickly. We exchanged a few back and forth messages before agreeing to meet up the next day. He told me to meet him at a specific grocery store parking lot at 8 p.m. It was kind of far, so I suggested somewhere else that we could meet halfway, but he made a bunch of excuses as to why he couldn't. He said he was going to be busy all week and wouldn't be able to drive very far, so if I wanted it, I'd have to pick it up near him. Although finding it a little annoying, I still thought the deal was worth it and agreed to pick it up. In the morning, I thought about it some more and almost decided to call it off. But then he sent me a few videos to show that the PC was working, and also said that if there were any issues, he would refund me, so it made me feel better about it. I went through with it, driving 35 minutes to the grocery store that he said to meet at. Right as I pulled into the parking lot, I saw a truck in the far back. It was the only car in the whole parking lot, and the grocery store's lights were off, like it was already closed. I had thought the whole point of meeting at a grocery store was because it was a safe, public place, so this was kind of defeating the purpose. Having already driven almost 40 minutes though, I still pulled in and hoped it would go smoothly. I parked by his truck and got out. The man sitting inside leaned over and looked down from his window. He didn't smile or greet me or anything. He just looked down like he was inspecting me, which was a really uncomfortable feeling. Then he got out. He was an older guy, like late 40s or 50s. He had brown hair that was thinning in the front, and just from a quick look at him, you could tell there was something wrong. I stood a few feet away, trying to keep my distance as he walked around and opened the back door. Inside, I could see the computer sitting on the seat, but not the one closest to us. It was on the other seat, further inside the truck. He then pointed into the truck and said I could take it out and look at it. His hand was still on the door, and he just watched me, waiting for me to crawl in and grab it. I stood there awkwardly for a second as my eyes moved between him and the truck before I noticed a small detail. The handle on the inside of the door that he was holding open was missing. It wouldn't take a genius to assume what this was. I started backing away from him and hurried into my car. He yelled at me to come back, but I pulled out right away. The guy rushed into his truck, and instead of following me, he drove off in the other direction. There's absolutely no doubt that if I'd crawled into his back seat, he would have slammed the door behind me. With no handle on the inside, it was obvious it was a trap. Unfortunately, all I had was his email to send to the police, but there was no tracing it. I just hope nobody else falls for his disturbing Craigslist scam. I've checked a few times since then to see if his ad was back up for the PC, hoping to set him up with the police or something. So far, I haven't seen anything, but he could just be using a different alias and trying to scam with a different item. My advice is to stay away from Craigslist. I was using Craigslist to find a condo or room in a house to live in for a few months. Most normal apartments only have 1-year leasing terms, but Craigslist was full of private owners renting out their places or rooms. Usually they were cheaper, and the owners were more willing to negotiate on the length of the lease. I had about a month to search, and I found and viewed a few places, but they all backed out last minute. Then I found another one, looking about the same as all the others. It was a room for rent in a home 20 minutes from me. The person listing it was a 22-year-old young guy. After reaching out, we texted back and forth for a few days before booking a time for me to view the room. When I drove out there and got to the street his address was on, I definitely felt a little less excited. The houses looked like they were barely standing, or just not taken care of at all. Lots of yards were overgrown, and even had junk in their front lawns. I guess this is what you get when you can't afford anything better, though. I hoped maybe the one I was viewing would be a little more taken care of, but when I parked in the driveway of the home, it looked like all the rest. I still figured I'd give it a shot while I was here. So I got out and pressed the doorbell. It didn't work, so I knocked. Immediately, heavy footsteps came up to the other side of the door. There was a really uncomfortable pause, like maybe a whole 15 seconds. Then he opened it just a crack. I could only see half of his face as he asked me my name. I nervously smiled and answered. Then he opened it all the way and welcomed me inside. He was tall and somewhat thin, with shoulder-length hair and some tattoos showing on his neck. But it was obvious that he was not in his 20s. He was at least mid-30s, maybe even older. I was already standing inside the house at this point, though, and he was leading me through the hallway. The man was actually moving really fast, like he was trying to show me everything in a hurry and talking non-stop, which made it hard for me to think too long about anything or realize how odd the situation was. The kitchen was very old and beat up. Some of the cabinets were partially open and loosely hanging on their hinges. He only spent a few seconds in there before moving into the next hallway that had two doors in it. He went up to the first and turned to face me. "This one will be your room," he said, opening the door and gesturing to me to have a look. This was when I finally had a moment to catch my breath and think about this. I figured it was probably best just to continue through with the tour since I was already in the home and then obviously never come back. But as I stood there, having only hesitated for maybe 3 or 4 seconds though, the man suddenly got angry. Like his face and whole demeanor instantly changed. He didn't say another word, but started walking toward me. I quickly backed away, to which he matched my pace and started moving quicker in my direction. I turned and sprinted down the hallway. As I left the house, I heard him stop at the front door and slam it shut behind me. I felt so stupid for having even entered the home, after already realizing that things were not adding up. I know technically nothing happened, but everything was pointing to an awful outcome. After that, I was too terrified to even try Craigslist again. I live on the East Coast. There's a lot of homesteads around here, or just in general, off-grid cabins and houses. Some of them aren't fully off-grid, but they're just far out and on large properties with 40-plus acres of land. It's normal around here to buy used tools and equipment from neighbors or others in the area. At the time, I was doing construction on my property and was in need of a flatbed trailer for my truck so I could haul more materials from the hardware stores. These are absurdly expensive, but since almost everyone around here has them, there's a lot of used ones people want to get rid of. Craigslist was the first and only site that I checked on. There were actually a bunch for sale, and I sent out multiple emails. Only one of them replied, though, and we scheduled a good time for me to stop by. All I really knew going into it was that his name was Devin and that he had what I needed. Again, this was a super common thing around here that I'd done a million times before, so I had no worries going into it. I drove about an hour from my place through mostly national forest roads until I made it to his driveway. It was like most around here, just a thin gravel road into the woods. I drove through and up to his house. It was a very small and really old-looking wooden cabin with a clearing in the trees leading up to it. The thing that I first noticed, though, was that there was no flatbed trailer on the property. I mean, it's a huge thing. It couldn't just be hiding behind a tree or something, so I expected to see it right when I pulled in. The only thing I could think of was that there must be a garage or shed in the back that he kept it in. Anyway, I parked in the grass and got out. I stood there for a few seconds to see if he'd come out and meet me, but he didn't. So I walked up to the porch and knocked on the door. While waiting, I couldn't tell if any of the lights were on inside. The curtains were covering the windows and the sun was still setting, so it was too hard to tell. After waiting for a whole minute, though, nobody had come to the door, and I started to feel like nobody was even home. Then I got a text. It was from Devin, saying to come around to the back of the cabin, where he had the trailer at. I felt something off about it, but also I did assume that it might be kept in the backyard, so I walked around to at least have a look. When I looked around the corner, all I saw were trees. I walked a bit further, stopping on the side of the cabin just before reaching the back. There wasn't even a clearing behind the cabin. It was just woods, going as far as I could see. I'd had enough at this point. I started walking back to my truck, but suddenly heard something behind me. I turned and looked at the woods again, not seeing anything. What I heard sounded like someone approaching from just around the corner. I continued walking, quickening my pace, before hearing loud footsteps pushing through the grass behind me. I only caught a small view of the guy charging at me before I booked it for my truck. I don't know if he gave up right away, or had something else in mind, or what, but when I got in and looked back at the cabin, the guy was gone. I got out of there and drove to the nearest town, where I got in contact with the police. The short of it is that the state didn't even know about any cabin built on that land, as it was supposed to be an unoccupied parcel. When they investigated, it was clearly abandoned. With there obviously being no intent to sell me anything, the guy was definitely setting me up for some kind of harmful intent. My guess is that he was hiding along the back wall of the cabin, waiting to jump me as soon as I came around. Luckily, I knew something was up and didn't walk all the way back there. If I had, who knows where I'd be right now.
Years ago, I was driving down the street one night. I was on my way home after working pretty late. By this time, most of the roads were quiet. I had left the highway and was on more local roads. However, I still had about 15 minutes of driving left before I would get back to my apartment. As I was driving down the road, there was mostly woods on both sides at this point. I remember that I was approaching a stop sign and saw somebody standing on the side of the road nearby. It was a man, and he had a small backpack with him. It appeared as though he was hitchhiking. This was really strange to see. I had never seen anybody hitchhiking in this area before. Plus, hitchhiking in general has not been very popular in a long time. It can be obviously pretty dangerous for everybody involved. When I came to a stop at the stop sign, the man looked right at me and waved as if to ask me to let him in. After briefly stopping, I accelerated through the quiet intersection and kept going. The man remained standing by the stop sign. I continued with my drive down the road. However, I got about a minute down the road, and after a gradual turn in the road, it became very straight. That's when I saw a bunch of brake lights up ahead. There appeared to be a traffic jam. Cars were stopped on the road for almost as far as I could see. I had no idea why. I thought maybe there was a crash or something. For this many cars to be backed up, people must have been waiting for a while though, because it was late at night. So I slowed down, and eventually I came to a complete stop behind the car in front of me. I really didn't know what exactly was going on. After stopping, I waited, and the traffic did not move at all. I remember that after a few minutes, I actually put my car into park. I rolled down both my windows to get a breeze of fresh air, because it was a nice cool night. I then went on my phone to look up what was going on and maybe find an alternate route. This had been the only way that I had gone home from work, and I didn't know anything else. There weren't a ton of roads out in this area. I couldn't really find anything about it online at the moment though, and looking ahead, all that I could really see was just brake lights of other cars. So I continued to sit there, stopped, and I started looking for an alternate route. But suddenly, out of nowhere, I heard this noise to my right. As soon as I looked up, I saw somebody at my passenger side window. It was a man. He instantly climbed inside the window, and the next thing I knew, he was in my passenger seat. It happened so fast that I never had a chance to put the window up, and the guy was not that large, so he was able to make it in easily. After getting inside, I realized that it was the same man that I had seen hitchhiking just minutes earlier. After he got in my car, I asked him what he was doing. The guy said that he really needed a ride. I told him to get out of my car, and he said no. The guy claimed that he just wanted to go a couple of towns over. I told him again to leave my car. The man did not answer me. I didn't know what to do. To be honest, I wanted to get out of my car and run away, but I did not do that. I told the man that I was going to call the police. And the guy instantly snapped back, saying that he wouldn't let me do that. What exactly that meant, I did not know. The guy moved a little closer to me. I just pushed the horn at that point and did not take my hand off it. The man told me to stop, but I didn't. After a few seconds, some other people nearby started honking as well, probably because they were annoyed at me. The man reached over and tried grabbing my arm. I screamed for help, and my windows were open, so people had to have heard me. At that point, I could not believe it, but the man finally left. He opened up the passenger's door and leaped out. Then he ran off, disappearing into the woods that was next to the road. After that, someone actually got out of their car and were approaching me. I told them what happened and let them know that I was not honking just to be annoying. Eventually, traffic started moving. It probably took about 15 minutes. I did not see the guy at all. It turned out that the traffic jam was caused by a traffic light which had fallen over. I'm not sure if somebody crashed into it or what, but I'm glad that we got moving again. I still can't believe that the guy just jumped in my car like that. He must have seen the open window. It was one of the scariest moments of my life.
Christmas Eve dinner at Burger King. Sounds innocent enough, right? Not my first choice, but I had to work late, and being Christmas Eve, it looked to be my best choice. I got finished working at 9 and had some coupons for Burger King, so that made my decision for me. When I got to Burger King, I noticed it was still open, but the dining room was shut down. The only way I could get something was if I went through the drive-thru, but the only problem is, I don't have a car. I tried to walk up to the drive-thru and place my order, but the compassionate young lady working the drive-thru wasn't having it. She told me if I didn't have a vehicle, I could not use the drive-thru. I became rather aggravated and began saying things that I was not proud of. At this moment, an older woman wearing shining armor appeared on the scene and offered me to jump in her car and order my food. At first, I turned her down, not wanting to be a bother, but after some convincing, I decided to accept her help. After ordering my food, it took so long to get it that I missed my bus and got upset. The nice woman offered me a ride home, and I felt kinda off-put by the offer and declined. She was persistent, but at the same time friendly and convinced me to take her offer. Mind you, I am a 250-pound, 30-some man, so I didn't really feel that threatened by a 50-something woman. If the circumstances were different, I would not have taken the ride. After I told her where I lived, we proceeded home. About 5 minutes from my house, we made a wrong turn. I explained that I lived the other way and that we needed to turn around or let me out here and I would walk the rest of the way. It was then that the woman's demeanor changed and she told me that she could not let me spend Christmas Eve alone and that she was taking me to her house. I told her that I needed to get home immediately to let my dog out and that I would be fine. The woman then tried to entice me with cocaine and liquor at her place, but since I'm in recovery, I told her I wasn't interested. She refused to turn around or let me out and started to drive strangely, not stopping at stop sign. I'm not gonna lie, my mind was racing and I began to sweat. I knew that I could physically overpower this woman, but what awaited me at her house? I also felt terrible about hurting her after all her kindness, but I had to get away before her house, and I didn't know where that was, so I didn't know how much time I had. Then, all of a sudden, luckily, the car in front was stopped at a stop sign, and across from it, another was also stopped. She had to slow down to almost a stop at this point, and this is where I made my break. I jumped out with the car still moving, leaving my food behind, and started walking away. As I was walking away, she stopped and got out of her car, and began to try to talk me into getting back into the car with her. That just wasn't an option. I don't know what her motives were, or who she was, but I knew I wasn't willing to risk my life over it. I ran all the way home and made sure I wasn't followed. What would have happened to me if it was 2 years earlier and I was still drinking and doing substances? Her offer of booze would have probably worked. Being a man, the thought of the vulnerability most women face every day was so foreign to me, and now I understand the fear most women face. I really feel this nice woman had a nefarious purpose and that I just so happened to be the perfect victim of opportunity. My mind races. Wouldn't the use of such a non-threatening bait just be perfect to lower the guard of a prospective victim? I never went to the cops because I felt they might not believe me and dismiss my account due to skepticism or paranoia, and I had no proof. But then, I wondered, should I have reported it? What if others got hurt because I didn't? I'm left hoping my choice hasn't caused harm to anyone.